All right. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I don't know about you, but 2020 has been one heck of a year so far, hasn't it? I mean, you know, things started to go pretty well. Well, for Steph and I, it was pretty stressful because we were moving right at the beginning of the year, right? And then we had that car accident. And then we get out of that, we move on, and things seem to settle out. And then all of a sudden, there's a pandemic. And as I've said to people before, in seminary, there was not a class about pandemic 101. So we had to really adjust and adjust quickly. Praise God we did. Thanks a lot to Stephanie for doing that. And it worked. We did well. As a matter of fact, one of my pastor friends said to me, who knew that overnight we'd become televangelists? Yeah, it was pretty fun, right? But anyways, for you too, I'm sure your life changed. Many of you, your jobs changed and maybe incomes changed and you couldn't see family or children or grandchildren. I mean, it's been weird, hasn't it? It's been weird. And it's been tiring, and it's been frustrating. And I don't know about you, but I'm like, can't we just go back to the way it was? I'm done with this whole COVID stuff. But who knows when we're going to be able to do that, right? And so we still have that. And then on the heels of that, it seems like the United States erupted in chaos. Racism and hate and people hating police and people rioting and looting and my goodness, I mean, it's like, what in the world is going on? And you know, I sit back and I think about this, and the other day somebody was saying, Pastor, what do you think is wrong with the world? And I looked at him and said, I know what's wrong with the world, and you do too. His name is Satan, and it's evil. We live in a fallen world. Racism and hatred isn't anything new. The northern kingdom of Israel hated the southern kingdom of Israel and vice versa. The Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. They couldn't stand each other because they were different. Viruses and sickness, well, that's nothing new. You look in the Old Testament and you see illness, you see leprosy. That's nothing new. The world hasn't changed. This is what Satan does. He, since the fall of mankind, since we fell into sinfulness, since we destroyed the perfect image of God, Satan has had on his mind that he is going to win the battle because he's dumb, he isn't all-knowing, he doesn't get it, and he will at all costs continue to be, as Scripture says, the prince of this world. He will continue to prowl around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He will continue to see us in God's wrath, which is his victory, just like our lessons every day, we're not in God's wrath anymore, and he will continue to see us and want us to be enemies of God, as our lesson for today says, we are no longer enemies of God. The answer to the problems of this world are not long philosophical discussions, my friends. The answers to this world, we don't have to sit around and say, woe is me, what's happening? The answer is very clear, and as God's people, we know that answer, and the answer is Satan. Now, we've said before, we shouldn't blame things on Satan because we're good at sinning on our own, and we are. But when something big like this happens, that's Satan stirring the pot. And our evilness and our evil nature, our evil side of us, our sinful side of us, won't be long to follow, getting caught up in the chaos. I am shocked at what has happened in our country today, how polar and hateful we become to each other. I am sick of watching social media today and seeing, well, if you're this party, you're evil. And if you're this party, you're terrible people. And if you believe this, you're evil. If you believe that, you're not a real person. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the reality is in this world, we're going to disagree with each other. All of us have our own opinions, which don't matter too much because you know what they say about opinions, but we have them. And we're going to have different beliefs and we're going to have different sides. And that's okay too. But at the core of it, in this world, we're called to love people. We're called to carry the love of God into this world and even love those who, quite frankly, may be our enemies. After all, at just the right time, when we were God's enemies, Christ died for us, St. Paul says in our lesson for today. When we were God's enemies, he could have turned his back. He could have looked away from us. He was right to do so. We're not. He is. He's God. But he didn't do that. Instead, in love and compassion, he turned towards us, sending his son to die on the cross, to rise for our sins, to make us holy and pure and one in his sight. But pastor, I'm just a Christian and I'm human. No excuse. We use that excuse all the time. Yes, we're human and yes, we're sinners. But God calls us to a higher standard. He calls us in baptism to be sanctified believers living out his love and compassion in this world. After all, when God sees you and you and you and you, everyone, he doesn't see an enemy. He sees a precious treasure. So very precious and special in his eyes, he gave up everything for you and for me. Think about that for a second. The other day I was thinking, what example can I use in my message of something precious in my life? And maybe you watched Stephanie's little Saturday with Stephanie yesterday. If you haven't, it was really good. They're all really good. Yesterday was really good. And I started looking around at my possessions. And you know what? Yeah, I had Sunny up here for the kids. But I looked around at my possessions. None of them are that precious. I wouldn't die for any of them. As a matter of fact, I get in a mood where I just throw stuff away. I don't keep pictures and memories. They don't mean anything to me. Maybe a part of that's after losing a child, you just realize that what's really precious in this world aren't the material things. You know? Maybe that's it. I don't know. And I started looking. What's precious? Well, my wife is precious to me. She's a precious treasure. Right? My kids, even though they're in heaven, are a precious treasure. My puppy is a precious treasure. My friends and my neighbors, you know what? I wouldn't trade the world. I love where I live now. I have great neighbors. They're a precious treasure too. You guys are a precious treasure to me. I started realizing that if we started to take a step out of this bubble that we live in where Satan's attacking us for a moment and rejoice in the fact that we're precious treasures, and we'll get to that in a minute, what we begin to see is that life is really good. Yeah, it really is, because God has died for us. And because he's made us precious treasures, we are all precious to one another. I can't live without you. I've learned that very much in the last several months. I don't know if you can live without me. Maybe you can. But I can't live without you. I love you. You're the very reason I get up in the morning to serve you and to tell you about Jesus and to love you and to pray for you. You know? And that's what's precious in our world. But not just you, our community. Just the other day, I was thinking about this sermon. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I'm still really nervous about this virus. Really, I am. I don't know anything. I don't think anybody else does too. We see an article one day from the CDC that says this won't hurt you, and then the next day they counteract it and say it does. Contradict and say it does, right? It reminds me back, what, in the 80s or 90s when they said, oh, eggs are good for you to eat, and now eggs are bad for you to eat. You remember those days, right? We don't know anything about this. Let's be honest. We don't. It's okay that we don't. It's brand new. We shouldn't expect to know everything about it. But it causes me a little nervousness and anxiety. And to be honest with you, except to buy a new washer and dryer because ours went out, I haven't been anywhere except church and home. Nowhere. We get everything delivered to our house. So Wednesday evening, a deputy sheriff who works with our congregation called and said, we're having a meeting of law enforcement officers from all around the area, and we want you to come and speak to us. And I said, well, okay. He said, we're having a rough time. Many of us want to resign. We want to give up. We just don't know what to do. Will you please come? And I said, well, I don't know if I can because I'm afraid of this virus. And it was at a restaurant of all places, right? A restaurant. And I thought about it. And God showed me what was precious. And that was his people who needed the gospel. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. And a lot of you prayed for me. And I walked in that day and I expected to feel anxiety and it was gone. I was floating on cloud nine because of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me. And the gospel was shared. Luther wrote during the bubonic plague, and this is pretty amazing, right? He said, as much as you can, stay with your own people. They didn't understand how stuff was spread, but stay with your own people. Stay cloistered up. But for the sake of the gospel, when the gospel calls, when people need to be loved, it's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. And he wasn't just speaking to me. He's speaking to all God's people. Because we're all precious treasures, and we all have to have each other for the world to be built up, to be carried up. Now, let's go back for a minute, right? If we sit in the darkness of what Satan's doing, and it's easy to do, would you agree? I'm good at that. I'm good at that. I do not watch the news anymore. Unfortunately, I'm on social media all the time, and I still read the news, which I probably should stop doing. But I have to stay connected somehow. And it's easy to get trapped in this darkness and this anxiety and this worry. And then it's easy to get these opinions, you know, and it gets hard. It's hard. Living today in today's world is hard. especially when we have armchair media posting all of their advice on Facebook or on Twitter, thinking they know what's best for our society. And if you really tear it apart, you're like, oh, okay, you're just like me. You don't know anything either. It's hard. It is hard to live in this world. And it's hard as Satan attacks. And we worry. We worry about our loved ones. We worry about our society. We worry about our government. We worry what's going to happen to our police force. We worry what's going to happen to black people and Hispanic people. We worry about these things, right? Because it does matter. All of it. And that's where Satan wants us. Because if he can keep us there, guess what we're not seeing? That. And if we're not seeing that, the cross, we're not seeing the empty tomb just on the other side. And if we're not seeing the empty tomb on the other side, we're definitely not being pointed to our baptism. And it's in baptism where God came to us in the power of his Holy Spirit to wash our sins away, to regenerate us, to make us into a new creation, to make us his children, and to make us his precious treasures. Right here, the day you were baptized, God made you into his perfect, precious treasure and promised never to let you go. My brothers and sisters, when we get out of the darkness, the muck, and the mire that is our world today, and we listen to St. Paul when he says, fix your eyes on Jesus, for the joy who set before him endured the cross. He saw beyond that instrument of death. He saw beyond that instrument of torture. He saw beyond the torture and the hell that he would experience on that cross to the joy on the other side of his resurrection for you and for me, so that he could endure that, to get through that, so that we might be with him and he might be with us forever. If he can do that by the power of his Spirit working in his word and in sacrament, we too can lift our eyes up to see the joy set before us, overcoming the darkness that Satan puts in our path, to be people of joy and love in our world. And this happens because we are precious in God's eyes. Garbage in, garbage out. I've been saying that a lot lately. And if we allow Satan and the world to continue to feed us their garbage, garbage is going to come out. And sometimes that looks like shame directed at ourselves. Sometimes it looks at it looks like being a victim. Sometimes it looks like many other things. But when we surrender and be still and know that God is God, Psalm 46:10. When we worship and we fellowship and support each other, when we receive the sacrament, when we take time at home to do our daily devotions and to pray and talk to Jesus, when we take time to live out God's calling in our life to love people around us, the darkness goes away. For if we walk in the light, we live as children of the light of Jesus. And his light cannot be overcome. His love cannot be overcome. His grace for you cannot be overcome. Because you are his precious treasure. So much so that he promises to go to the ends of the earth to bring you back to his joy, his light, his mercy, his love, and his grace. Though the world may be falling around us, Psalm 46 say, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, we know that God is our fortress, a very present help in all trouble. And because of that, we're good. We're loved. We're safe. We have eternity. There is precious treasure. Remember that. Let that soak deep into your soul and hold on to it, for it is God's promise to you. And you have already inherited his kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.